for myself. No more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
No, I just can't do that. Welcome to Strange Universe. I still cannot do an impression of Holly High Roller or Holly Roller. Anyway, Sean's usually theme song. Sean has been to the hospital and had bad things done to him. He's got radiation dye in him, but that's enough. He should be back next week. He's just chilling at the moment and maybe listening. Or so hopefully he hasn't spat a very expensive claret across the room. My name is Monty Dean. This is Strange Universe. I've been joined once again by Bruce McDonald as well as Miller Talking Hughes. But the difference is they've turned up at the same time. So it's a double win for me because I'm tired, ladies and gentlemen. I'm used to doing 1 2-hour podcast a week. And I've done, I think, 3 Strange Universe. I can't remember. Anyway, how are you? Melissa and I did the Galactic Historian Friday comedy show earlier, so I know how you're at. Yeah. And Bruce has finally been brought back into the 21st century. However, interesting, now it's not his fault.
The Russians, Monty. The Russians have seized Costa Ricans networks.
Duh.
And, yeah, I mean, not having internet intermittently, it's a little bit of a hassle, but it's the least of the problems, man. I mean, the medical records aren't coming up for the patients at the clinics and hospitals. Pensions aren't being sent out to the old people. And all the Russians want is $15 million, and the government won't give it to them out of principle. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Especially, at first I thought Bruce was joking, but no, that's actually really quite suspicious now, Bruce.
there's been a DOS attack on the country of Costa Rica, not like Telstra or AWA or a company, but an actual country has been attacked and is being held to ransom.
Yeah, people need to remember that this is only a country of about 4 million people, right? And there's about, I don't know, 500,000 foreigners here, and then probably about 500,000 Nicaraguans. So think of it as a country that for most first world countries would be the population of a city, right? And it's not a rich country. So, but hey, let's talk about this for a moment, because there's a lot going on here now. And so 2 days ago, the Costa Rican legislature had a vote, and they passed a motion 41-6, and the U.S. Navy has been granted access to Costa Rica's territorial waters. So I am literally living like Narcos season 4 live here in Costa Rica. By the way, this is the new hub for narco trafficking. This is Costa Rica is what Colombia was in the late 80s, except we don't produce. It still pretty much comes from Colombia and a lot of it from Bolivia now. But the port of Limon, which is 40 minutes from me, driving, it's the closest city to me, the closest big city, is like the largest distributor of cocaine now to Europe and other places. And you know where it goes, guys? It goes in the fruit boats.
I think that
with
the nice.
Yeah, it's in with the bananas and the pineapples.
Look, they're trying to get really clever about, well, that's not, I was going to go into, they're getting really clever about how they transport it now. and particularly when they're sending it across water as one of the main vessels of transport, they're getting very creative. You have to admire what they're doing, but the fact that they're doing it's not good at all. But Costa Rica's always been a bit of a middleman, hasn't it, in terms of trafficking and.
You know, it's really gotten out of hand in the last 5 years or so. I'd say the business and Costa Rica as a shipping point has probably doubled, tripled, quadrupled in the last 5 or 7 years. Yeah. So yeah, it's literally billions of dollars in cocaine are going through this country. It's quite amazing. Mm-hmm. I like the new president. We got a new president 3 weeks ago. He was he worked at the World Bank for 5 years. He's got a PhD, speaks five languages, and he's a hard ass, right? Okay. And all the presidents I've seen since I've been living here have just been these like socialist candy asses, right? That just, you know, and this guy just, no. So, they literally don't have enough prison space to incarcerate everybody involved in the narco trafficking here. Everybody's involved in it now. The federal police, everybody is corrupt. It's like Mexico. Latin countries are very susceptible to this level of corruption because salaries are so low. Like a police officer might make $700 or $800 a month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing my part. I'm not buying cocaine.
Attaboy, Monty.
I can't afford it. Let's be fair. I can't afford food at the moment, but like, we'll move on. I remember Sean going, "Are you smoking weed?" Yeah, people go, "Are you smoking weed?" I barely can cover tobacco. I can't even get to the luxury lad. Luxury cannabis. Luxury.
The cost of living around the planet, or particularly in privileged society around the planet, has just gone through the roof. Everyone is struggling with this. I mean, there's an awful lot of jokes in Australia at the moment because you can't get a lettuce. There's been all sorts of weather disruption, massive floods in northern New South Wales, Queensland, sort of mid-east coast, which is where a lot of the lettuce comes from in Australia. And at the moment, you cannot get one. You would get more money for an iceberg lettuce than you would get for anything you might want to smoke. It's one of my neighbors just sent a text message to all of us in the street saying, "Oh, we've got a couple of spare cos lettuce in the garden. Would anyone like them?" And you should have seen my neighbors running down the street. It was very funny. Unfortunately, I was on a call with a patient, so I couldn't head out there and join the throng.
Everyone, for those playing at home, here in Australia, KFC is now putting cabbage into their burgers instead of lettuce.
It's been a cute marketing plan though, where they're using the word lettuce as in the actual plant. Lettuce tell you something, we're out of lettuce.
Yeah.
And so there's a lettuce shortage. So yeah, now you're getting cabbage in your burgers and whatever else you get from KFC.
Lettuce at KFC,
it's all chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, well no, you can have, you know, you have a chicken burger and you have lettuce and mayonnaise. Sometimes cheese, you know, options. Mum showed me, like, it was so funny. Mum had to show it to me. It was a cartoon when I say local paper, it's like for the city. It's not like suburb paper. Anyway, now I've got to try and remember. It was basically a glass mug, say, which is about a sixth full, and that's the living standard or cost of living. And then they had an iceberg lettuce as an iceberg. So only the top of it was sticking out, but the bottom. So, yeah, that made her laugh a lot. So yeah, just think Titanic. And you know, no one blamed the iceberg anyway.
But it's there's this massive economic anomaly in the equation around the planet at the moment that's not making sense. But people are so focused on the cost of petrol, the cost of a lettuce, the cost of whatever else is being denied. In various countries, we've got all sorts of downfalls. We've got distribution centres being burnt down in the United States, haven't we? What are they up to over there?
The 50 or something.
Like 18 or something, isn't it?
Yeah. I saw a TikTok video of a gentleman pointing out the government's ripping somewhere in Europe. If you actually look at the price of a barrel of oil, it was higher 12 months ago.
Yes.
But it was 80 or 90 cents or a dollar less now. So it begs the question, who's ripping, why are we being ripped off? because it's not, especially here in Australia, like Melissa, you actually leave the house and buy things. Apart from vodka, what do we actually get from Russia or the Ukraine?
Look, where we are in the Southern Hemisphere and a long way from everything happening up in Ukraine and everything going on up there, we export very little out of there. Like, doesn't make economic sense to ferry it that far. And so it's really bizarre. And but that's global as well. There are an awful lot of countries around the world that are being told it's due to economic backlash from Ukraine, from everything else that's going on, COVID fallout, all of that sort of stuff. But there's still this, and Bruce, you're probably the person to talk about it, there's still an anomaly in the equation that doesn't make sense. And it's confusing to me that people aren't questioning it, that it doesn't make sense that the cost of living has accelerated as much as it has.
Why is that? Okay, because it's not just the result of Ukraine. They're using Ukraine as an excuse. What we're witnessing now was bound to happen the moment they went to quantitative easing and started producing money out of nothing in 2007. Okay. So what happens, the way the market normally works is that the private banks go to the Fed and there's an auction on bonds and treasury bills, and those become the reserves of the private banks. And then they, for every dollar they have in reserve, they can loan out 19. It's a 20-to-1 fractional reserve. So what's happened now is the quantitative easing is where the Fed just gives banks money. There's no bond issuance, and so basically it's the proliferation of the paper now. One of the reasons it's taking so long to manifest itself is that in 2007 and 2008, I mean, did you guys ever ask yourself why every G7 country did the same thing as the U.S. produced? If you look at it, so the United States, Barack Obama did a stimulus package of, what was it, just under, I think, like, just under $1 trillion, like $800 billion or something. So the population of the United States is 10 times larger than Canada, and we did an equivalent quantitative easing, a issuance of capital without any transaction at the central bank of about $80 billion. And Britain did the same on based on the same equation for them and France and everybody. So basically anybody who wasn't in the core G7 countries inherited the bad effect of this. So these would be trading partners like India, Russia, China. Okay, we basically ripped them off. And I've always maintained that we took control of the world definitively after the Berlin Wall came down, and nobody took it from us. We lost it. We just did not manage the world properly, and it became very, very abusive. And it's been abusive for a while now, 15 years or so. And now we're skidding into the Great Reset, right? Biden and Trudeau both want to do the Great Reset. And I think Macron wants to do it as well. Why would anybody want to do this? Well, because the other option is to face your citizens and tell them you don't have the pensions, or you have the pensions, but their purchasing power is about 40% of what they should have been. And that's cheese, loaves of bread, stuff like this, right? So the Ukraine war is being used as an excuse. And this is just purely an excuse. Anybody who understands economics knew that inflation was bound to happen. How do I know all this, Melissa? I was raised by an economist, and my brother's a chartered financial analyst. I come from a money family. My family, my father and my brother, in 2007, their attitude was those banks should have been allowed to fail in the United States. There's no such thing as too big to fail. Yeah, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of Americans would have lost their pensions and everything. Hey, but look, it is what it is. But now what they've done is they've spread it to everybody, right? So they tried to absorb it, and they couldn't absorb it. You know, as Alan Greenspan said to the House Senate Finance Committee one time, I saw it on C-SPAN, one senator asked him, is there any possibility that the U.S. would ever default on a debt payment? And Greenspan's answer was, no, sir, that can never happen because we have the right to print money. That's However, right. What we can't guarantee is the value of the money we give them.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean it's thievery at the highest levels, and so
the interesting thing is with Australia during the GFC, the global financial crisis, we fared slightly better. I can't remember exactly why, I guess it was every taxpayer was. Well, did you get that check from the government to spend, Melissa? I wasn't paying tax at the time, so I didn't get it.
Probably not.
Okay, yeah. It was around about $1,000, wasn't it? And the idea was to stimulate the economy and keep it afloat and moving.
I remember that. Yes, no, I probably did, because I think I get something. I think I don't get much, but I get something called a family tax benefit.
Yeah, it would have been 2007, 2008, and that was that was the Australian stimulus package, where so we fared better than everywhere else. It still sucks, but since that, the last 15 years, we've really been run by idiots, and I think we've had 7 prime ministers since then. Ever since Twitter was created, Australian prime ministers haven't gone longer than 3 years. It's I wonder if there's a connection. I don't know. Social media, morons on social media. But yeah, a lot of people like. But
I want to dive deeper into this, Bruce, if we can. Uh-huh. So the whole plan of the Great Reset, which
in you'll my own mind, nothing, and you'll enjoy it. Yes.
Yeah. What is the actual plan? I mean, obviously, their current plan, as I said, there's all these anomalies, and all you can think is there's no way that's going to work, dude. What are you doing? But it's
excellent question, Melissa. Yep. When I was at this network, I had a morning show for about 8 months, Monday to Friday. I did 2 hours every morning. And the format of my show was I would tackle a book, something that was like a classic in the alternative literary canon. So I did William C. Bramley's The Gods of Eden, his theory on the ET interference with Earth. I did a number of books. I did a book called by a Romanian pastor about his time in a Russian gulag and explaining how communism is really Satanism. And I did Klaus Schwab's book. I read the whole book on air and discussed it. I spent 6 weeks on it, okay, or 4 weeks on it. There is no plan. I've never read such gobbledygook in my life. Yeah. It's like a grade 8 civics class wrote this book. There's absolutely nothing substantive about it. It's all smoke and mirrors. They don't have a plan. They don't have a plan. Their plan is depopulation. And then when the human race is on its knees, then they will force the new system upon us. So when they say you will never be happier, you will never have been happier, I think what they're alluding to is some kind of perpetual narco state, like that drug they had in Brave New World. These people are they're not good people. I think really it's the Saturnalian cult on Earth. I mean, Klaus Schwab even wears the uniform in public, you know, so, I don't think they're going to get the Great Reset, you know, so I don't think anything really bad's going to happen. I think that what we call the Kali Yuga is ending and we're going into a golden age after a short silver age.
I think there'll be a grand reject of the Great Reset, because humanity is like, what do you mean I can't own anything and I'll be happy? I like my Metallica vinyl records. Get out of my house.
Yeah. So my economic advice for people now is you're on your own. Get a big garden. If you're a meat eater, keep some chickens, keep some rabbits in your backyard. I don't care where you live, Toronto, Melbourne, New York. You're going to have to do it yourself. And if you don't do it yourself, I think this is one of the conditions of getting through this, is that you're autonomous. And that if you're still connected to any of these negative systems and depending on them for any kind of support, you're not going to get it. And I mean, it will, I think, descend into, you know, civil unrest. I mean, we're already seeing that now. I mean, the crime rate is through the roof. There's economic problems where I live now, and it produces a lot more crime. And I'll tell you why. Costa Rica has the harshest laws in the world for non-payment of child support. This is probably one of the most favorable countries in the world for women. And I do support that. But if you're like a minute late on your child support and your ex-wife goes to the police station, all she has to do is sign her name to a document and it's a de facto warrant. You're arrested. And if you don't come up with the money right away, or if your family doesn't come up with the money and bring it to the police station, they'll keep you for 6 months and wipe whatever your debt is. And then you get back out, and then you got to start paying your child support again. So about at least 50%, I'm not sure, I'm being very conservative here because the family's been destroyed in this country, in this generation. It's an epidemic of single mothers. Yeah. And so, you know, let's say 50% of the men under 30 who have children are living under this child support tyranny, and there's no flexibility. You know, so if the economy is tanking, it's not an excuse in the court system. So if you're going to go to jail for non-payment of child support anyways, why not try a robbery? Because if you get caught, what's the consequence? You're just going to go to jail. So that it doesn't, they've created a situation where it doesn't matter. And it's that's what's going on now. So there's a lot more crime in Costa Rica now, a lot more break-ins, a lot more robberies. You can't leave anything lying around. You turn your head for a second, your cell phone's gone. At a coffee shop or anything, you've just got to be on your toes all the time. Yeah.
And like in privileged society, which we're all part of, because we have a device to be listening to this on Revolution Radio right now. so many people are saying, oh, it's okay because I've got insurance. I've got all my stuff's insured, you know, blah, blah, blah. Insurance has fallen apart, everyone. Like, you know, that's not something that, it's amazing to watch around the world that people are still thinking that insurance is going to save them. And I'm yet to hear in the last couple of years with fires in the United States and floods here in Australia and, you know, all the weather anomaly, weather extremities that have been occurring around the planet for people. And when they've gone to get the insurance that they've paid for many years, thousands and thousands of dollars in premiums, and the insurance is not backing them, the insurance is not repaying them for what they thought they were insured for. The insurance has changed all of its rules where suddenly they offer you a minimal percentage of what whatever was destroyed was worth. And insurance as a business is collapsing, I think, even faster than banking as a business is. In terms of if you've got something that's really that valuable to you, get yourself a safe or get yourself, you know, again, you need to be autonomous in your protection of your valuables if they're that important to you. But it is quite extraordinary. I remember speaking of Revolution Radio and the fabulous Nighthawk. I remember him years ago talking about making sure you had your, EMF protected USB drives and to keep all your records and everything on. He was a prepper long before preppers thought prepping was good.
Absolutely.
Well, the interesting thing here in say Victoria, you have to fight against the councils, because if you remember the 2009 bushfires, Black Saturday, the Sabbath, but that's just a joke that I put out there because it's Black Sabbath. Anyway, a lot of people die. That's not the point. but this gentleman, remember, he cleared half an hectare or an acre from his house. It saved the property, but the council charged him $100,000 because he wasn't green enough or some ridiculous like that.
Yeah. The ridiculousness is the ridiculousness is just going to get louder. You know, from the small thing of all of my neighbours sprinting down the footpath down to Tony's house to get a lettuce, to the larger scale of a reset that can't possibly be a reset, you know, but we're hearing that to placatus to placatus and pacify. And, but again, I think you might be right, Monty. I think they're underestimating the intelligence of the people that are now connected globally, where in terms of how long they're going to be, to use Mont's term, bullshitted too. And whether they're going to tolerate that, I think they might be overestimating their power. They may have well seen that recently too. You know, they've with all the governments recently, when I say recently, the last 18 months to 2 years, all the G7 governments have put through bills to stop you getting international media or international information through the general media. And so to find out what's going on in the world, you have to have friends around the world to tell you what's actually happening. And so, but that, if you've got friends around the world, we are still connected thanks to social media and various things like that. So I can have a friend over in Nashville say, what the hell is happening in Australia? We heard some sort of thing, and then I'll find out they've got other stuff, that sanctions and all sorts of crap happening over there. And it's only through organizations like this, where we're connecting globally and you've got, you know, an international panel coming together saying, well, this is what's happening in this hemisphere and this is what's happening in this continent.
What I find interesting is with people like, oh, it's the Great Awakening. Let's clarify that. It's the Great Political Awakening. You know, we're all spiritual and you know, multidimensional. The Great Awakening is, you have it, your alarm's about to go off. You're still asleep in your bed. The Great Awakening is to the corruption in the political system. It's, you know, you hang out with a galactic historian enough, you realize there's still 99.9% more of awake to go. But most people, I think the downfall of they in bunny ears, they think that most people are asleep. And I've met a lot of people, I'm going to say probably a third of the people are asleep, a third of the people are afraid, and then there's the other third that sort of, you know, that half awake, half asleep, when you're coming out of a dream, when your alarm's going off, the radio's playing, it's like, why is Bon Jovi next to me in my boat? You know, that the crossover of the realities. Basically, I know a lot of people who know what's going on, and it's only an observation, it's not a judgment. A lot of people haven't got to that point of standing up. They're kind of afraid of what can we do. However, I think we're at that tidal wave that, because people know enough about it, give it the right cat video, we could see protests start tomorrow and go for 8 months.
Yeah.
We could, but how effective are they? I mean, we've seen massive, massive protests in the last 2 years.
Once a week. Like, I'm talking, you know, protest every day for 8 months. And you have in Melbourne, if you have 2 million people out on the streets in front of Parliament every day for 2 months, when the government realises, oh, this is not a flash in the pan thing. Where the couple of protests we went to, there was 1 in 7 Victorians there, and they still ignored it. But it was only one afternoon. Imagine, 7 months in a row, and the economy grounds to a halt because everyone's trying to get their freedom back from the corrupt governments and so on and so forth.
But wow, that's like 2 minutes.
Oh, buy a watch, dude. It's 27 minutes in. You are listening to Strange Universe, where we have bottom-of-the-hour breaks, and I understand. When you do this solo, it makes sense. We'll be back after these messages, and I'll continue finishing my statement, if I have one.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Moscow's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
The ground is filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. Heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. Your neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. But do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal?
Murder mystery. Real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Fripp Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Fripp Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the crypt.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So much better when Sean puts on music. I keep forgetting that I can do that because we are exclusive. I think you can listen. There is the player on freedomslips.com, which we're broadcasting through, for this is The Hawk's Nest and Strange Universe. And my name is Monty Dean. I'm just playing catch up there because my cat is in the room and not making a noise. I'm scared. I think she's plotting my death.
I keep telling you she loves me. She loves me.
Uh-huh.
You guys need cats? I can box them up and send them to you. You need cats? Just let me know.
Well, I'd like you to film that because most people say, have you tried to herd cats? Well, I know a guy in Costa Rica who can.
All you got to do is hit a fork on a tuna can and you can herd them pretty well.
Nope. No, my cat's very unique. Isn't she, Melissa?
May we continue with the economic theme for the...
Can I finish the intro? This is a strange universe, and so it's a universe, and we're strange, and we're filling in for the Sean David Morton. And, yeah, so we're here for another hour and a half, so there's three more breaks, and hopefully my cat will... Oh, no, my cat's disappeared. And we can keep going with the economic thing, because... money in itself is not evil, and it's a form of energy, and it usually wants to do good things. But this planet, it's been weaponized, as well as you have an extreme amount of hoarding by psychopaths, and that's how they kind of weaponize it. Yes?
Well, as you're looking at it energetically, the fact that they continue, there is no money shortage. They, as Bruce has said, they keep printing his stuff. Like they just keep bringing out more. And so what they seem to have done energetically without even realizing the damage they're doing themselves, they've turned a little ripple into a tidal wave. And in terms of energy, yeah, it's never going to be a good thing for them. So for those of you listening at home, thank you for being here. You know, I'm so glad you guys are out there putting human footprints in this strange universe. And the fabulous Bruce McDonald, I'm Melissa Hocking Hughes, and the fabulous Bruce McDonald is here as well. And we'd like to say thank you to Sean for bravely putting us in his place today.
Well, you can thank me because I allowed it. So he chose me and was like, all right, boss, you clearly don't want this show to do success. Anyway, so this is the type of attitude I get from my North American friends.
Settle down, Tiger.
I've had a long day. I went to the letterbox today, so I'm tired from the move.
He went outside on Thursday again, Bruce. He was outside.
Oh my God! So I have like a 7-day vacation planned for myself. I committed to it about 7 weeks ago. I was talking to Andrew about it, and then May 5th I lost my bank card. I forgot it in a machine. Came home, canceled it, and they've sent it out by courier incorrectly twice now. So and I really do want to, you know, get off the mountain by myself for a while. I have friends, you know, in different parts of Costa Rica, and I'm just kind of straitjacketed up here, and I'm starting to go just a little bit stir crazy. I mean, I haven't left the mountain really for 4 or 5 years, except to go to town a couple times, 3 times a month, but it is time for me to move around a bit. I got, generally when I get into a writing phase, I get very stationary, and I wrote 3 books in 2.5 years, and that stationary aspect is just kind of hanging on, but I'm due for a vacation. Now, because I allowed myself to have this idea and allow it into my heart, the expectation of it now and the denial of it is creating a tension. And I find I'm getting a lot of like little really weird karmic situations up here. Like a classic example was today. The internet was working from about noon to about literally 5 minutes before the comedy show. And then it went out, and it was out for 3-4 hours, and then it came back. And so I guess I was just not meant to be on that show. But what I wanted to ask you guys is, you know, despite everything we hear about the economy and everything, there's a lot of work for people who want to work. Is Australia bringing in a lot of laborers?
They're trying to. It's a little bit more difficult for Australia to bring in laborers from anywhere, being an island, and a long way from anything. But at the moment, if you're unemployed, the question is how in Australia. Like if you're looking,
yeah, I can answer that.
Yeah, but you're not looking for a job. If you're looking for a job, there's just heaps out there. Everyone's desperate. There are so many things affecting the economy, and not least of all that so many people, because we're of course in winter, and this particular winter is already freezing cold, and so there's a lot of people out with viruses.
But there's the Victorian. There's that Victorian flavour, though, where the only state in the country that still has vaccine mandates. So I get paid by the federal government to look for work that I can't achieve because the state government doesn't want me to.
Yeah. But it is at the moment, it is really fascinating to watch what's occurring out there. And we actually had I had friends approach me. You know, when you're talking about being autonomous, Bridge, I had friends approach me the other day, two of my best mates, and they live on an amazing property. And we've always joked that we should just create our own little village out there. But they actually asked me the other day if I'd seriously consider moving out there because they're going to need a healer for the local community. Yeah. And so it was, for those of you who don't know, I am a healer. If you look up melissahockinghughes.com, you'll go to the website and see who I am. And then most images on there are days where I've brushed my hair. It's actually curly. But I do look like that. But they actually asked me in all seriousness if I'd consider it. And honestly, I would. I freaking love living out on their property. It's magic. But as you say, Bruce, it is actually time to move around while this sounds awful and really negative on me, but while you can. And it's not about while you can because governments and sanctions and policing and crap's going to step up, which it will in the short term. But It's more about the fact that there, you know, fuel shortages, breakdowns in communication, all of that sort of stuff is where small community becomes more essential. And so, and the ability to move in terms of getting on a plane or going any long distance is going to be reduced for a while. And and that's not doom and gloom, everyone. That's just kind of what's unfolding before us, and we're seeing it. We have this little hiatus at the moment where I'm watching so many great friends and myself getting back on planes and traveling and seeing everyone and doing everything we're doing. But
until you get COVID, then you have to stay somewhere for 7 to 14 days. I've been watching bands tour, and like, we're totally vaccinated. And then one person gets COVID, and they have to cancel 14 days worth of shows.
Yeah.
It's like, you can go out there and try it, but there's still a lot of people. Like, you can see it in the CBD in Melbourne here, the Central Business District. A lot of people are working from home, as well as not that many people are actually going out. And no, they may go out, like, say, after the show, I say to Melissa, let's go get a coffee somewhere. And it's spontaneous. However, I don't think either of us would try and organize something in 3 weeks, because 4 days before that appointment, I would say date, but you know how people think. before that actual penciled in, you could get COVID again, and then you're isolating for 7 days. And, you know, it's very hard to plan certain things. So people are sort of like, yeah, I'll. And after 2 years of staying home, people are self-isolating because it's like they don't have spending money. It's cold. And why go out? Because you make – like half my family is still wearing masks because they think they have a defense against the viruses.
So Canada – Canada's bringing in a lot of foreign laborers. I'm actually going to hook my stepson up with an agency. And so get this. So my son was working for a concrete finishing and waterproofing company before he came to Costa Rica for 6 months. He went back, called the guy up, started working the next day. He's got a good work ethic. So after a week, they've asked him if he wants to be a crew boss, which is a significant salary bump, and he has four people working under him. And the principal reason, other than his work ethic, that he's being offered the job is all the laborers are Mexican. And my son, because of his time in Costa Rica, now speaks fluent Spanish. Imagine that, being a Canadian white kid. It's mind-boggling. So, yeah, I'm going to try and get my stepson in there. And, you know, he's going to go to Canada and he'll probably work with my son. Right. And the agencies, they provide housing and everything, and the wage is pretty good. You know, I mean, it's, if you go in through their program, so you get your housing and they give you a vehicle, like for a group of four or five guys. And they pay about $22-24 an hour Canadian, which is about $26 Australian. Right. Yep. That's a lot of money for a Mexican dude, let me tell you. And no significant expenses because you don't have rent, and rent is horrendous in Toronto. You can't even get a tiny little bachelor apartment for less than $900-1,000. It's like New York.
Oh, that's global. The housing and rental crisis is absolutely astronomical at the moment. And I actually just sitting as a witness on a in a courtroom on Thursday, and the hearing technically wasn't about housing. It was meant to be about the safety of a young man that didn't have the capacity to prove his safety for himself. And the ruling in the court was completely based on the fact, it was completely based on the housing crisis. It was not at all based on what the actual issue was in the courtroom. And the judge ended up making a ruling that was completely wrong because of the housing crisis. And it's just watching that occurring. It was just a nightmare to watch unfold, because this particular young man's now, like, his life's particularly in danger because the ruling has forced him to live with an abuser because of the housing crisis. And in fact, not just live with the abuser, but actually pay for the abuser. Like, he's got to purchase a property that the abuser lives with him in now.
Wow.
And so, it's incredibly absurd. But the judge that was overseeing the whole thing is also in charge of, I can't remember what it's called. What is it? Who handles it? It's VCAT Housing, is it, Monty? I don't know who it is. But anyway, it's a court that handles all the sort of housing real estate issues in Australia. And so it was this judge had just seen so many people in the middle of freezing cold, icy winter having to move into tents because there's nowhere else for them to go. And we're talking families and all sorts of things. And she's just seen so much of that, and she's so appalled by it, and that she's had to make these decisions, that it completely contaminated her point of view in this particular matter. And it was, and I suddenly started to see just how much, you know, everything's affecting everything. This was a bizarre way to see it. And my, you know, my heart's just broken for this young man that's now in danger and no one can do anything to save him.
Yeah, the bigger picture of it, we're seeing hypocrisy through transparency. And it, you know, people used to joke in the 80s, oh, the government's the problem. Well, we're seeing that now as we're talking about fuel prices. They could, like here in Australia, the government, I'm sure it was part of their campaign to get re-elected. That didn't work. They cut the fuel excise in half by cutting it, instead of 44 cents a litre, it's 22 cents a litre. And when they did that, it was $2.23. And guess what it is now? $2.23.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. And, you know, because there's a new government and stuff, but it's that whole kicking can in the road. It's like, oh, well, you know, they hide behind the bureaucracy. Like, someone should actually, if they cared about people, things would be moved around. And this is just basic stuff, not like we need aliens to turn up with a Nikola Tesla machine. I mean, we don't need the alien part, just, you know, the Nikola Tesla machine's there type thing. But they're just like, oh, that's above my pay grade. They just kick it upstairs and stuff like that. Even our Prime Minister, who, when opposition, he was a terrible opposition leader. He didn't do anything. He would just, like, give snide remarks to our Prime Minister at the time, which was Scott Morrison. But Scott Morrison wouldn't answer questions. And he tweeted out, oh, you know, being a Prime Minister, answering questions is the job. Guess what he's doing now? Like, he's overseas and won't talk anything domestic. Australian problems and anything else like that. Basically, I think you're going to find people that voted for the government this time, their buyer's remorse is less than 2 weeks, because they've cancelled so many, they've gone against so many election promises beforehand. It's all about climate change, and we have to go to renewables and all these beautiful things so we can save the planet. Less than 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks or maybe three, the energy minister has come out and said, oh, I think we actually have to restart the coal fire power plants because it's the prices are too much.
Well, no, that actually happened. They restarted all the coal and everything out at Loy Yang and stuff. That was ScoMo that did that. That was a couple of years ago.
Yes, but in the last 2 weeks, the minister of energy yes.
Yeah, they're gearing it up. Actually, like, I'm with you, Bruce. We got a new Prime Minister about 3 weeks ago, as Mont just said. He's actually a good man. He's a good man. He's not a showman, and he's certainly not a great public speaker, but he's actually a really great leader. And so I'm interested to see what he does, because he's still leading, as Monty just said, he's still leading a really corrupt, you know, government, even though he's a good man. And so he's actually reinstated an awful lot of things that were screwed up by the last government really, really quickly. I actually love what he's done in his first few weeks. But he's and they've had to step into enormous international massive issues really fast. He was sworn in as Prime Minister, then he jumped on a plane and went over and met with Biden and everyone. Like, he hadn't been Prime Minister for 24 hours and he's
already pushing that carbon scam. So, yeah.
He was already, I mean, but yeah, we can watch politics and, but I think anyone, if you're listening to Revolution Radio right now, and you are, one here is believing the government's going to save us. Now, like, there's no one in the audience that's that dumb. So if you're in this audience, you're already pre-qualified.
Yeah, but they're the main problem. Like, Biden's come out and said the American economy is the best it's ever been since 1776. And everyone else has gone, what are you on? Honestly, he is lying blatantly, trying to the Democratic Party, or the elite in the Democratic Party, they live in a completely different world. They've got this whole illusionary fantasy reality. Like, they believed by beating Trump or stealing the election from Trump, them winning, they saved the United States from Hitler again, or some stupidity like that.
Yeah. So I think one of the mistakes people are going to make this time is, you know, when you look at the attempts for social change in the past 5 or 6 decades, it was based on a government's willingness to move, right? So what comes to mind, you know, the Vietnam War is one thing. But, I mean, they have so many things they can do, right? Like, I think that's one of the factors that contributed to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He wanted to end the Vietnam War. And as soon as the vice president, Lyndon B. Johnson, took over, he extended the war. But people have been entrained in the West to believe that when you reach a consensus point, the government has to yield. I'm beginning to believe that's not going to happen this time. No. And most of my opinion has been formed by watching Justin Trudeau. He literally doesn't give a damn what anybody thinks. Even the most liberal newspapers in Canada have turned on him now. Everybody wants him out of office, and he retaliates spitefully. We are the mm-hmm. only country in the world that still has travel restrictions because of COVID. And so, as you guys all know, my father is quite sick now. He's got COPD, tuberculosis, and diabetes. He's 87. Let's say he dies in 3 weeks. If I go home for the funeral, I can't leave Canada unvaccinated because I'm entering Canada on a Canadian passport. If I were entering Canada on any other, if I had any other passport, Canada might not even let me in. And so, they're passing a censorship bill now in Canada where independent content creators, ergo YouTubers, are going yep. to be censored by the Canada Radio Television Commission. It's getting really, really draconian. And
Canada that did this. I mean, I'm watching yeah. all of this too. And of course, you know, friends are over there that are telling me what the hell's happening over there. But who would have thought it would be Canada that actually led the charge in this absolute disgusting level yeah. of control? And there's the, you know, I know there's the whole theory. I mean, I'm, you know, whether you buy into it or not, the whole theory that he's actually descendant of Castro, and this is Trudeau, of course.
100%. And 100%. He's the biological child of Fidel Castro. I was born and raised in Ottawa.
I can't believe it, to be honest. I think he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. You yeah. don't think he is?
No, I do. I do think he
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just leaving it open for the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, the photos, and as Bruce pointed out, there's this time window of his mum being in that, and it's and also he seems to be you know, trying to emulate father. So
when the Canadian newspapers attempted to rebut the growing conspiracy theory in Canadian society that he was Fidel Castro's child, they printed articles in which their investigative reporters went and got the travel logs of the prime minister at the time. And as you know, any head of state, their whereabouts are accounted for 24 hours a day while their prime minister or president or whatever, every like 24 hours a day. And that becomes part of the permanent national record and the permanent archives. So the newspapers went to the archives and they said, look, okay, we've looked at it. There's no indication in these travel records that he was in Cuba and at this time, giving Justin Trudeau's birth date. So it can't be. An independent blogger went and did the same thing. Just some more woman working from her home said, well, I'm going to double check this. And sure enough, there it is at the exact time that would have accounted for the 9-month period for Maggie Trudeau to get pregnant. The family went on a vacation and it listed all the countries they were in. And they were like, I think in Barbados or something. And then the travel record said the family also visited one other country that they wished to remain undisclosed. And none of the major newspapers pointed that out or used it as the basis to expand the conspiracy theory. It says, so that's what your media is worth these days. And I'm not saying, like, no, look, here's the problem. Some people get, you know, angry and they go, oh, everybody is so corrupt now. Everybody's part of a conspiracy. No, the only conspiracy is they want to get fed. They don't want to get fired. If the publishers say, don't print that, and you're a reporter, you're not going to print that. It's mm-hmm. not your fault, mm-hmm. right? So that's how they do it. And you know, so in my mind, that is Fidel Castro's child. There's no doubt in my mind. And Maggie Trudeau had to be the most promiscuous first lady in the history of first ladies in the 20th century. I mean, she slept with half the Rolling Stones, like just about everybody. She slept with Norman Mailer. She slept with just anybody you can imagine almost. I mean, she was, I hate to say it, but just like she was passed around like a groupie. And Pierre Trudeau, Justin's father, he's gay. It was a Valentine marriage, you know? And a lot of these marriages are Valentine marriages, or they're not what they say they are, like Barack Obama and his wife. I mean, she's a man, okay? And that's all been proven now. Not proven, but if you go and look at all the evidence, it's not too hard to see.
And realistically, it doesn't matter. It's just the line.
No.
That's the point. It's just the line. I don't care. I love triggering people by saying, I know of a black man, half black man. He's married to a transgender person, and they've got adopted two kids, and they're extremely happy. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're Obamas. And then I get chairs thrown at me. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's like even there's a sports star in Thorpe. He's called Thorpedo. Now, in England, they don't say pedophile. They say pedophile instead of pedophile. So Thorpedo, it's like, what's he doing there? But he was in the closet for 20 years because he was afraid of the backlash. Well, he's got backlash from me because he lied for 20 years. I understand where he's going, but you remember when he was really popular? I mean, listen, when he started, it's like, it's not, we don't care that you're not gay. It's that you can go out with anyone in Australia and you don't. And it's the lying part of it. And,
you're right, it's the lying part of it. I find myself actually feeling like there's a Formula One driver, and yes, I'm a girl and I love motorsport and I particularly love Formula One. Sorry about that, everyone. I know it's a completely useless, completely indulgent sport. I just love it. But Daniel Ricciardo, who drives for McLaren and really badly these last two seasons, which is sad because he is an amazing driver. But I'm waiting for him to just say, yeah, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. Like, I just,
I'm looking out. Well, remember that.
It's upsetting me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, just move on. The Pride Month. I want to accept them equally, but that's the problem. You're listening to Strange Universe. We're halfway. So you notice how it goes quickly, but it's also long. We'll be right back. You're on Revolution Radio. Strange Universe will return soon.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Broadcasting live from the peak of Mount Warning, the most easterly point of Australia. Tune in to the Free Manatee Radio Show with your host, Spread Love, every Monday, 6 a.m. EST. On the show each week, we discuss realistic solutions to help you observe rather than take part in the globalist agenda. We will dig into the past to find solutions for the future. We will discuss the wisdom of Ayurveda, the science of life, for techniques for understanding and achieving personal health and longevity. Please join us every Monday on Studio A, 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Free Manatee Radio broadcast with your host, Spread Love. On Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
is the truth jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio. I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on public means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
This is JP from Journeys with JP. You're listening to Revolution Radio, and now back to Sean David Morton with Strange Universe.
Thank you. But it is I, Monty Dean, not Sean David Morton. Thank you, JP, wherever ye be. This is Strange Universe, hour two, the second half. We've just come out of the change rooms and sucked down some oranges, and I think we're playing quite well. I have no idea why I'm using a sporting metaphor. I haven't played sport for a while. I breathe heavily walking up a set of stairs, unlike our premier, who can get downstairs very quickly because he trips. Yeah, local reference. Woo! My name is Monty Dean, filling in for Sean David Morton, and I have Bruce McDonald as well as Melissa Hocking Hughes to help out fill out the 2 hours. So we've got an hour to go. Sean is on assignment, and most likely, or hopefully, we'll be back next week because I'm getting tired of filling in. I'll have to do this again. All right. Two guys walk into a bar. You think the second one would have seen it? Anyway, but I'm just dealing with my own crap as well. So, yay! And that's the fun part of things. As I slowly improve and opportunities come forward, the rest of the world's collapsing. I know. I've got a car now. I can go for a drive to the letterbox because that's going to cost me 80 cents.
That's what it is. Poor old Mont. Mont's having a hard day, everyone. He actually had a really hard day about 36 hours ago where he actually went outside. So, you know, that's...
Oh, my God.
That's a huge day for Mont.
That's the fourth week in a row.
What were you doing, Monty? Hunting for squirrel meat?
Do we have squirrels down here? We have yowies.
Everybody has
possum
squirrels.
Meat. Possum meat.
No, we have possums. Angry possums.
Did I ever tell you about my walk through Central Park, New York in 2001 when I was working in New York? Rat, squirrel, rat, squirrel, rat.
Homeless person, rat, squirrel.
Completely coexist.
Yes, well, one of my fake supporters, but yeah, acknowledges a great man for Planet Collingwood. Tonight's show was brought to you by SJ's Squirrel, Jojo for Squirrels. Let your rodent defend you. I'm not sure if you're aware. Unfortunately, SJ passed away last weekend. So
what?
Yeah, that's the information I've been given.
Oh, I heard he passed away a few months ago.
Well, Mandela effect.
Maybe he just got sick a few months ago.
Yeah. I think he had a foot removed or something. He was poorly, but he was at the end of his innings, and it sort of all caught up with him, apparently. Some people from the station reached out and said, "You're still awesome." And I think that could be, in a spiritual sense, that could have been his permission slip to go. Because it's like, oh, I'm remembered. All right, I can stop being in pain now and shuffle off.
He's on that big bong in the sky now, Monty.
On a big boat fixing a car. It's a very strange vision. Yeah. He's fixing motorcycles on the deck of a fishing ship. But yes, he will be remembered, and I will keep using. He did like the idea of because he would have squinges, as he would call them. He had a relationship with squirrels, and so I just came up with the idea of a dojo squirrel. You know, learn the ways of the squinger. I just love the tag. Let your rodent defend you. So I will continue doing it. So that's how I remember. Like, not many people, you came up with the idea for the olive branch. Remember the 2 hours after Noreen's Wild at Heart, and no one else remembers the mighty olive, but we do. And so we keeping the flame of love alive.
He was a gentle soul, man. I really liked Olive.
Oh yeah, like he always referred to as the Pope, the poop. Like he would just change the vowel and put it, you mean the poop, and he's great. So is anyone local or you're all from around here? on global radio. So.
And the show that you did, the Olive Branch in honour of Olive, is probably one of the most powerful shows you've all done together. It's really quite an amazing show.
Yeah, well, we only call it the Olive Branch because of that's when Olive had his round table. And the four of us, Bruce had the idea of, hey, let's just get together and do a show. And it was John Edmonds, Andrew Bartz's, Bruce McDonald, and Monty Dean. The only reason it's called the Olive Branch is because that's our memorial to Olive because he passed away.
And it was a really powerful one. I mean, that's how a funeral should be. That's how a memorial should be.
It wasn't a memorial to Olive. Yeah, we just used the name. We did that earlier when Olive passed. I don't want to sound callous. When Olive did pass, we did talk about him, and even with Rectify as well, with characters around the station when they transition, we do tribute shows. But that Olive Branch you're talking about, that was we honoured Olive. So it wasn't about Olive, but we honoured him with the name because it's like. Me and Bruce are just eating popcorn while Andrew and John are just like, oh, yeah, 8,000-year-old time portal. No, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. A lot of people at Rev Radio have passed, like just a lot. Do you remember Michael Hemingsworth? Or Michael Hemmings? Hemmings, I think.
Name doesn't sound familiar.
Okay, so the curious thing about Michael is he was a writer, he's a published writer. He specialized in erotica, actually, but real erotica, not pornography, like spoken word, not romance, but he had some success. Like I think he had a part-time gig teaching at a college or something, creative writing or something. But he was born on the exact same day as me, in 1966, July 12th. You know, I always found that odd, you know, and he died in Mexico, in Latin America. So anyways, there you go. And that was the first death since I've been at Rev Radio. And that one goes back to like 2013.
Yeah, well, I have a birthday buddy, Wally, in the chat. Different year, but same day in the calendar, which is the 8th of March. International Women's Day. G'day, ladies. So if Christ to Christmas, it's me to International Women's Day. Anyway, this is why I'm single. I'm God's gift to women. No, you're not. Oh, damn it.
No, my earliest was when Willow's partner died very suddenly.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a shock for everyone because it's like he was healthy.
Yeah.
I guess that was meant to be, but it's one of those lessons of like it's meant to be, but are you sure it was meant to be? Like why? Because they're so good as a couple. You would even if you're in a relationship with someone, it's like you're jealous. It's like how good are these two? And then that happened, and like just ripped asunder.
Yeah, but and then of course the fabulous Nighthawk leaving as he did. But,
all these people are actually mentioned on Gone Not Forgotten. Paula, Michael Hemmingson, Worf Poe, host, Susan or Ace, which are a producer, Princess, Dave Corso, Wolf Spirit, Royce Holman, Pamela Koppel, Berrias, I think that's how you say his name, Willow's partner, Olive, as we mentioned, Dr. Raelwyn, Robin Falco. I believe Nighthawk was hit hard with that one because they were so good. Banjo Picking Gal, she was a chatter. Sherry Shiner, guest host. Dr. Ott, co-host. Oh, no, Alex Studer, I think. Nighthawk. Steve Moreau, if you remember Steve, he was a medical intuitive and had an interesting perspective. Wasn't for me, but still a learning. Bruce, remember Bobby Vicarious, or whatever his name was?
Bobby Vicarious, yeah.
Yes. Lovely chap. Of course, the mighty Rectify. I still use Rectify as an example where, how can we win against these people? Well, your chief weapon is love. Well, what about if someone's punching you in the face? Well, I would love them to stop that. And he laughed for about 30 seconds. I'm like, yeah. And you had Gordon James Quintana. I can't remember say his name. Reggae Girl, John Chook, Love, Jerry B, Billy Hayes, unfortunately, and SJ, a.k.a. Sunshine Jim, hosts and chatters. So that's the gone but not forgotten wall here on Revolution Radio. So we remember for right reason. And, it's one big family. And as I said on the comedy show, I would like to have a Revolution Radio staff meeting once where that's the other thing, like when you mentioned that host name, there's like, 80 to 90 hosts. It's like, do you know everybody? No. I'm sure that, I meet hosts. So what do you do? I have a round table. Oh, is it new? I've been tainting loose since 2015, my friend.
There you go.
Yeah. And I do like how Melissa keeps pointing out. See, I like it. I'm spiritually a sleeper cell, and I'm completely clueless to I'm just 3D, baby. Like the rest of me, you have no idea. But I've had glimpses of I have red flags for aliens and dark entities because, when you break their holds and break a neck and fight back while being in paralysis, they kind of leave you alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That works. Yeah, that works.
I find this to be an extremely exciting and rich time to be alive. And yes, it's scary, and yes, the rate of change is very quick, but there's so much spiritual ground to be made in times like this.
Yeah.
If you use it correctly. And that's the blessing of it, right? And so I just find it an absolutely fascinating time to be alive. And I'm here for people as they begin to wake up and they begin to encounter the things that disturb them and so on and so forth. Basically what we got to do is we got to shepherd people through the fourth dimension, which is where all the boogeymen are, and get them to a higher state of consciousness and teach them that those things can't hurt them really if they're at the right state of consciousness, the right frequency. So I find it amazing. And the place I live is so weirdly consistent, right? It's been, the Kabakar have been there for 10,000 years, living the same way, building the same kind of houses, and the people I live with. And there's not a lot of TV up here. Like I think maybe 1 out of 10 people who live on this mountain even have a TV. So I live with people who just exist within the physical reality they exist within. I'm like a broadcasting station up here with three computers. I'm the only person on the mountain with the internet, by the way. You know, people come to my house just to sit on the sofas on the balcony to use the internet on their cell phones. It's like 30 years in the past, right? So I'm spared a lot of the tension, and I'm very grateful for that. Although I did the work, you know, it's not lucky. So, but I'm very grateful for that.
It was a conscious choice.
Yeah, it was a conscious choice, absolutely. But you can feel the changes over here too.
With John Edmonds, where you said to John you were going to move down to Costa Rica, and he could not
believe that, Melissa, after 7 years. He said, "Bruce, you've got to be the only person I've met who says what they're going to do and does what they say." and I said, "Well, thanks, John. Let's get this book written." And it's a beautiful place. It's very protective and just full of love. It can be scary, right? Because, you know, the rate of natural transaction is really quick. Oh, snake ate a frog there. Oh, you know, possum ate a chicken there. Oh, you know, dog killed another dog there. You see a lot of life and a lot of predation and a lot of, you know, we've got these gigantic turkey vultures that, you know, when they're on the ground, they stand about 3 feet high and they have these crimson red heads, right? And jet black bodies. And, you know, they're come anytime something dies, something comes in. And just even at the human level, there's a lot of transactions here too. I mean, you know, I've been living here 5 years, Costa Rica 7 years, but this mountain 5 years. And I mean, three people I know have been murdered. And, you know, so it's just like the transactional. And again, this would frighten a lot of people, but I, you know, when you're living in a high transaction space, you get a lot of spiritual lessons really quickly. And that's the irony of this place, because it's so slow. Like I said, 1 in 10 people even have TV, but the real life stuff is really quick.
Hmm. Yeah, you pause on the good stuff. What I find interesting with these times is you two are fine. Yeah. I mean, there's a moment of shock when you find out something. Like, are you aware that California has now designated the bumblebee as a fish?
You're joking, right?
No.
Yeah. Come on.
No, well, that's but once you figure out that this is what they've done, you go, okay, there's a quick acceptance of, like, we live in clown water. But I know people that are still in shock, like, for weeks. How can we live in this insanity? It's like, it's been going like this since the pandemic started, 2.5 years, and it's just been topping itself. And, like, you have to accept your reality. You know, how can we move forward? Well, you still, you know, I mean, at the point where it's like California is now referring it gets worse because they want to save the bees. They can't have legislation on insects. So they refer to a bee as a fish and therefore it's protected. However, the next step for that is they're not allowing anyone to actually own bees.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's pure clown world at its highest peak. But my response is like, of course they are. like nothing really shocks me that much. but there are other people that still haven't realized this is the reality we live in. And it's like, how can this be? Like, is this your first day on Earth? I mean, I just don't understand.
There's in Australia, there's a state that's outlawing the ability to grow vegetables in your own backyard.
Come on.
No, it's true. The not being able to own bees, that kind of makes sense because someone in the government must have figured out just how powerful the bee is.
Mm-hmm.
The power of the bee is amazing. I think anything that's survived 26 million years on this planet's got an awful lot of power in it.
Yeah, they're entrenched into the ecosystem as well.
But I gave it more credit than like I should have when you said that they've been classified as a fish. I'm thinking they must actually understand that the bee flies by levitation, not by the beating of its wings.
No, it wouldn't be that. No. It's California. California is...
Maybe that's how they classified it, under levitation laws.
No. They're not that smart. See, California, the government is actually paying reparations for slavery. The interesting thing is it's a state that never had slavery that's taking money that weren't slave owners and giving it to money that weren't slaves. So, you know, it's just pure clown world and it's all ridiculousness. But some people can't accept that it is happening. Like, the insanity continues. It's like, it's been 2.5 years. Accept that it's all weird. Like, no, I mean, one of the weirdest sentences I've ever said or read was, Ukrainian refugees that make it to the United Kingdom will be sent to Rwanda.
Ridiculousness.
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I was going to say, we were actually chatting with Sean David yesterday, just having a chat, not on air or anything. We're all discussing the fact that at the moment, for anything, as you mentioned before, Bruce, anything fourth dimensional is just having an absolute feast. They're just having an absolute party on the sheer terror, confusion and I guess devastation of the majority of privileged society at the moment, and certainly an awful lot in America where there's, unfortunately, it's just so fear-based in the United States. And rightfully so, everyone. You're right to feel that. But, anything fourth dimensional is holding enormous power, which is only accelerating the fear. Not that it's powerful. It's just having a field day feasting off the devastation of the human race.
And there's the illusion of power because people aren't aware. They just sense the fear. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, the true purpose of fear, like fear and your shadow is supposed to be a friend. If you go into fear, it's like, by the way, something dangerous could happen. But everyone lives in their fear because we're stuck in that survival mode. And so, of course, they're feeding off it. Unless you decide, no, I'm going to work through my fears. I'm going to stand up, raise my vibration. And then those fourth dimensional entities run like the clappers because they're afraid. Like, they keep us in fear because they're scared. They're scared of our true power.
I mean, the answer in short to that is to raise your vibration. Which I say that, you know, oh, it's that easy. I know it's not that easy when you're already in a state of trying to exist as a human in this current environment, worried about your family, worried about paying whatever bills you have to do, all of that stuff. It's like Bruce was saying, you've got, you know, you're agreeing to this because you need to be paid. You're not publishing whatever piece you've discovered because you need to be paid. And so it's, and there is all of that as well. But raising vibration is as simple as I stated in doing that, it can be done quite easily, like quite literally. Here's a free offer to you. If you go to my website, so look up melissahockingnews.com or look up qbihealing.com, takes you to the same place. And there's a pop-up that comes up that says, if you want to join the newsletter, stick your email in there and it'll take you to a free self-healing course. Now, if you get taken to the wrong one, we have to pay for it. Email us through the contact page and I will send you the free one, okay? But that little program, that little self-healing process will raise your vibration incredibly. And you can use it once you've learned how to do it, you can use it again, again, again for the rest of your life. It is super powerful. And so there's a quick solution to raising your vibration really fast under quantum bioenergetics, under a quantum community effect. So go and have a look at that. But that is the answer to what's actually occurring in the vibrational state of the human race on the whole at the moment. Wow, I said that quickly. Sorry, everyone.
and watch some comedy as well.
Wow, I spoke fast then. Yeah. But and it is the solution, but it's like, you know, it's the old Aristotle quote, you know, simplicity is a puzzle of complexity. If you want to think about it, if you want to rationalize it. And I actually was talking to a patient earlier that's got cancer at the moment, where I was talking about the fact that he's wonderfully analytical and that's his undoing at the moment.
He's like, yeah.
He's got to get out of his own conscious way. And I was saying to him, you know, I'm a phenomenal healer. I was born with this gift. I've worked on thousands of patients. And still, during this week, I was working on a particularly difficult case and I had to step away from the treatment table and say to yourself, for God's sake, Melissa, get out in your own effing way and step back in again.
Yeah. Stupid human. See, you know, I know I'm a perfect human. I acknowledge my flaws. Yeah, that's right. You challenged my. Yeah, so I'm not a perfect human and I have no flaws. What basis of reality do you have that?
Look, you're as much as you're the brilliant comedian and everything that you are, I always say this, and I've known Monty for many, many years. We're very much siblings. We're brother and sister from a long, many lifetimes. But Monty is wonderfully, consciously ignorant of just how goddamn gifted he is.
Sleeper agent.
But he refers to him, I think actually Andrew Barsis refers to him as the lazy time lord.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm caught in quantum effect and live in this very high vibration, I'm particularly bad on this timeline. Don't ask me times and days of things. But the beauty is why Monty will bring up when we met an exact time and where we were. I do remember where we were. We were at a gig.
No.
No. Oh, damn it.
It was
weren't we at the corner gig, for the live gig? I'm sure we were.
Deakin University with your blind.
Research.
Yeah, research blind thing, yeah.
Yeah, the research blind thing, the massive research we did that was published internationally, and Monty was one of the many participants.
Because it was just after I'd broken my hand, as well as you tried to tap into my energy, and my shields were so up. My shields had created their own shields. That's how long my shields were up.
I'd forgotten that. I had to lengthen, I had to regrow the bone in your hand.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And of course, Monty said, how long will this take? I want it now. We're rebuilding the actual bone structure. Give me a few days.
I can survive. But I do like, see, I have no memory of this, but Melissa does because she has the consciousness on the other side of the veil. Mm-hmm. I take her down wormholes all the time where she nearly throws up and wakes up because it's like, come down this one. I'm like,
yeah, he does. He
completely
oblivious. Monty does incredible astral travel. He does amazing work in the dream state. He doesn't remember barely any of it.
Yeah.
But I think nearly all of us have had an experience where Monty's come and knocked on the door in the astral and said, hey, come with me. This is great fun. And quite literally, as he said, I'll dive in. I love a wild ride. I'm quite the adventurer in this life. And but literally, he will travel multidimensionally in three dimensions at such speed that I will start to feel physically nauseous back here in the human form.
Yeah,
I get car sick.
That's how. Yeah, I mean, I was watching some show a couple of weeks ago, science fiction, and the thought just came out of nowhere because I know my block isn't 100%, and it's a self block, and so things leak in, and so obviously intuition and everything else like that. But I'm watching it, and this thought, a strong full frontal thought, basically very like I should have a cup of tea. But this one was, I miss space flight. Like, where the hell did that come from?
2 minutes.
Where did that come from? Like, anyway, you're listening to Strange Universe, and we've got one more section to go, and we'll be strange in this universe. So stick around. All right, Monty, that's Bruce, that's Melissa.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drink themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then to bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Coming around the mountain when she comes. Well, thank you, Captain Obvious. Sorry, I should do a list of stupid silly. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Well, thank. It's the last place you look. Well, yeah, because what? You find it and then keep looking? Think, people. You're listening to Strange Universe. My name is Monty Dean. I've been joined by Melissa Hocking Hughes as well as Bruce McDonald, filling in for Sean David Morton, who is on assignment. And I'm guessing right now he's probably asleep because he had a big day. He left the house as well.
So,
yeah. People leave houses, get tired. I'm just putting it out there. It's no theory. It's a fact. It's a fact, man. I mean, I love people. That's why I don't go near anyone. So, or I like that meme as well. I'm not going outside. It's all people-y. But that's the cool thing about winter, because everyone's rugged up and they don't want to go out there. So I can stroll confidently to the car. And, yeah, good times. So where were we? I was just talking about my spiritual escapades that I have no bearing on. So at some point later on, I'll be I'm hoping before the end of this life in this body that I find out, oh, I'm that. Because that would be more fun, because I like this body at the moment. But I'm the type of person that wears a pair of shoes to death. Like, you know, there's gaffer tape and there's, you know, six, you know, the laces are breaking three times. And I need someone like Melissa say, it's time to get new shoes. Yeah, but these are comfortable. The stains are the only thing that's holding together. All right, then.
I do that too. I have running shoes, like, and I actually run in my running shoes. Everyone, like, they're actual shoes for running. And whenever I get a new pair of running shoes, it's just like, oh, the new shoes. I love you guys. I love you so much. And then, you know, when I've done so many hundred kilometers in them, and I really do dig holes and everything else, and I still look upon them with the same adoration. Oh, you're my new shoes. But then I'll buy a new pair of shoes, and in comparison, you're like, well, you're really not new anymore, are you? No, I literally wear them to death. My runners that I've just changed over, the tread was gone. It was like bald tires.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's been pouring rain and freezing cold, and I went for a run and I was just slipping everywhere.
I don't know if it's like,
well, you're just not new anymore, are you?
Yeah, like my grandparents, they lived through the Depression and then went into World War II, and I know from my mum's side, she didn't do it, but my grandma, I'm a light Nazi. If I'm not in the room, I turn the light off. It's like, why do I, the books don't need the light on. What's going, click? It's penny pinching. However, this winter, it's like, you know what? I may turn the heater on instead of wearing 17 layers of clothing. And that's a big step for me. And then I saw how much gas prices are going through the roof. Well, of course, that's what I like about that. I decided, you know what? I think I'll start dating again. 2 weeks later, 14 days to flatten the curve, everyone. Well played, universe. Well played.
It's I haven't even considered dating again. I'm sure if I did, the universe would pull something out like that on me too. No, you're too busy. We will restrain you somehow.
You've got I can't be asked with the whole vaccine. Just, it's like, well, it's not a vaccine. It's more of a treatment. But you know, mind you, if I wait long enough, certain body parts would be a gold mine. Let me just leave it at that. Wait. You're untainted? Yes. That's correct. Would you? I could repopulate Victoria.
Back on the topic of Canada, Bruce, so if you go into Canada at the moment, even with your Canadian passport, you can't leave?
Correct.
After isolating for 14 days, and that's the other sucky thing about, you know, your dad dies, but if you leave for Canada the next day, you have to wait for, you know, the funeral hopefully is 14 days after that, so you can actually go to it. If the funeral's, that's the sucky part, yeah. And then you can't leave because Justin Trudeau is insane.
I've got a friend that's over there at the moment. She's actually Canadian. She's gone in on a Canadian passport, but she was vaccinated, with a vaccine that's no longer recognised.
Oh, God.
And so she's having, like, an enormous amount of trouble. She's got to get back, blah, 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 but she's having a lot of trouble because of that. And when she was trying to explain it to me, I was just gobsmacked. I'm like, but you are vaccinated. Technically, it's on the records here in Australia that you are, even though what they were calling a vaccine has now absolutely disappeared. It's been just quietly, completely, all the factories that were manufacturing it, all of it's just quietly been buried because, wow, it was toxic. But the damage it's caused, oh, my God, I could rave forever about the patients I've had to see that had that particular vaccine. But she's I didn't realize it was, I thought it was actually because that one's just now been disappeared because of whatever's wrong with it. I didn't realize that it was, you had to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Do they use the language like up to date? Like in Victoria, they changed it for up to date, and they changed the numbers of the vaccinated because they bring in a third dose. And so instead of like two doses, it was 95% allegedly. Then they go, oh, but see, there are three doses, and so now we're only at 35%. And they keep, it's very brilliant marketing type stuff. They keep changing the language and the meanings and everything else. I mean, how can we be 95% vaccinated and yet every sector is looking for work, for workers to work?
I just had some clients last week that I had to work on because people, I'll often work on people, do a remote healing session on them as they're actually having vaccines if they've been mandated and have to have something they don't want, and God forbid an mRNA one. And but they were selecting, like they'd selected to have their fourth dose, and yet they still book in for me to work on them to make sure it doesn't affect them negatively, yet they're lining up for their fourth dose, which is not essential. It's not actually mandated your fourth dose or anything like that. I'm not too sure where they stand. They absolutely believe in the work I do and everything, and yet still they're getting
It's not persuasive, but there seems to be that mind virus. Like I've got half the family umming and ahhing. They've taken the first wave, you know, one and two. They're not sure about the third one yet. But on the other side, no, we're getting the fourth one. We wear masks all the time. And like, so four shots in 12 months seems to be working then. And like my brother went to Perth to get away from COVID. And it's like,
that's a long way away, everyone.
Yeah, 3,000 kilometers. But then Western Australia opened up, and I'm tired of the division and the fighting as well, because I'm sure it's column A, column B, you know, balance. You know, it's every country should be, you know, capitalism as well as socialism. You know, they can live together in a certain way. It's about balance. But look, you can't, if you mention that, you know, like pineapple goes on pizza, death threats and I get swatted.
Look, I actually said to someone, here's a little, well, we're in, you know, I'm in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm in Australia at the moment, so it's virus season big time because the winter here is colder than it's been for a very long time already. But so at the moment, the amount of times I'm explaining to people that, and so just write this down if you don't know this, but pineapple and pineapple juice is the best cough expectorant. Stops the coughing, clears the cough, right? It's the best cough expectorant in the world. It is 500 times better than the best cough medicine you could take. It is super, super effective. Always keep that in mind. If you get any sort of cough, bronchial thing, anything like that, get your pineapple juice in fast, okay?
What was that concoction that we gave to my stepdad? Because we're catching four buses a day in this weather, so you know, hot cold, like the body's like, oh, enough. But remember, he had that cough, and then we had that pineapple. It wasn't just pineapple, was it? It was something else, or
I threw some ginger in there.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Yeah,
just ginger in there, and which made it yummier for him. He was happy, but he it's an incredibly powerful thing to do. So just write that down for your notes in case anyone in your life has coughs. And there are more and more viruses coming back to life from melting permafrost and changing climate. We're seeing a lot of ancient viruses rebirthing in a world where humans weren't when it lived. And so we're seeing an awful lot of that stuff happening. Yeah. At the same time, we're seeing these mutating viruses that have been synthetically altered and dangerously so. I mean, I remember the day, this wasn't long ago, about 15 years ago now, 12, 15 years ago, there was all this, oh, we found the new cure for cancer. We've altered a virus and we've got this virus that's actually going to attack the cancer cells. You don't play with a virus. A virus is a galaxy unto its own, as if a virus was not going to evolve past anything they thought they had control of. And sure enough, that happened, sadly, and not unlike the vaccine we were talking about. It's been just quietly disappeared and shut down, and don't talk about what we tried to do with the virus.
The Pfizer drops are just – I don't read them. I just watch people's reactions from them, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. All the stuff – you can see why they wanted to wait 75 years. They wanted – what is that, two – nearly three generations from now, so no one would care. It's like if they actually released
this out articles through the general, you know, Murdoch's media, through the big global media. They've just put a big article out in this past week about how Pfizer has now been proven to be safe for pregnant women and newborns. And let me tell you, don't.
Well, no, strangely enough, because the Pfizer documents point out that it's not.
Yes, so, that's right. But that's
where the you get the division. Like Dad would say, the Pfizer drop, that's the original vaccine, and the one that the Murdoch article is saying that's the latest version of it. And like, I'm just tired. You know how it's gotten to the point, and you can see this especially in the United States. I would like to be left alone, and then these insane control freaks. Oh, looks like we've got ourselves an extremist. Leave me alone.
Do you know
that's what most of the center and the right. Just want to be left alone, but the controlling freaks on the far left.
No, look, without a doubt, in my mind, from what I'm seeing in patients all over the world and people all over the world that I'm privileged to work with, the greatest disease that's coming out of these vaccines and the and full applause to the propaganda that's happened over the last few years, is the breakdown in families, where people are, as you say, Mont, people have divided, people are being excluded in their own families from all sorts of stuff. I had a lady in tears last week because her son refuses to let her see her grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
She's vaccinated, but he is refusing that because she won't wear a mask. And she won't. Now, look, let me just explain to everyone. I know the propaganda is out there and everything. A mask does not stop you from getting it. It stops you from giving it to someone else.
Yeah.
And so your mask is not going to stop you from contracting it if you're in a public space. But if you do have any sort of virus, and I'm not talking about just the COVID series, I'm talking about any, you know, respiratory-driven virus, right? So all coronaviruses, colds, flus, all of that sort of stuff. If you have anything like that, yeah, wear a mask, absolutely, to stop you sharing it with other people.
Yeah.
It's a courtesy thing, all right? Don't make other people sick. But it's not going to – going out in public with a mask on, it's not going to stop you from getting stuff. That's not how it works. And I know there's all sorts of propaganda out there that'll – it's always been that way. Look back over the last – when did they start wearing masks in surgery? What was that, the 19 – oh, 20s. You're probably – sorry, me and the timeline, sorry.
No, I'm sure World War One. They were wearing masks back then.
The fabulous old show MASH, right, where the surgeons would wear a mask. They didn't wear a mask because they didn't want to catch things from their patients. They wore masks so they didn't add to any contaminant in their already weakened patient.
Yes, right? Yeah, they didn't share whatever they had. Yeah,
and it was and it wasn't some intergalactic 3D 95N whatever else, you know, mask. It was just a little bit of cloth.
A bit of cloth, yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. Life is better watching MASH.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, that's like, like raising your vibration. I didn't really want to, you know, you've got that free video on your thing. It's like, also, speaking of comedy, I didn't want to, you know, poo-poo what you said. But watch comedy that you like. And for 45 minutes to an hour, you'll be completely forget everything that's going on. And you can laugh, you know, watch, as an example, Eddie Murphy, Delirious from 1983. And just laugh. But like by laughing, you remove the stress and the energy and, you know, lighthearted. You know, the English language, when used correctly, there's always in there, you know, are you thick? Don't be dense. And it's fascinating how the wording just go, you know, be lighthearted, airhead slightly different, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Look, you can always watch a bit of Monty Python. That stuff does not go out of date. It's still hysterical.
It's awesome. sometimes like, you know, in Life of Brian, where they talk about, I want to be called Loretta, not Stan. I'm like, oh, hang on, that's a bit close.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah, things have changed a bit past that. You're right. But it's
Well, no, that's become true. That's the scary part.
Yeah, they predicted an awful lot from, what was it? When was Holy Grail? 1973, I think it was?
77.
Okay. But it's,
around there, mid-70s.
But they, there's still great stuff. Like if you're on Netflix, Michael McIntyre did a show on Netflix. That's good value. It's stuff you can relate to.
Well, he just talks about mundane things because he's got kids. He does live shows where he does say a third of it, and then he has stand-ups come on. I think Bruce's friends that you lived with back in the day, they've probably been on McIntyre's show because it's one of the best shows to go on to get noticed and paid and all that type of stuff. But McIntyre can actually spend 7 minutes in total ridiculousness. And all it is, it's like we dress the kids to go to get in the car to drive somewhere. But he just makes it so hilarious and it's overblown. And if that's true distraction in a good way.
He talks about, you know, when your bath's too hot and how you paddle.
We can
all relate to that. We've all done it.
I mean, you can watch Bill Hicks as well, and that still has its function. But if you want it, because in the conspiracy world, you need to switch off. I mean, there's that addiction for all the information. I found something new. Then you got the doom and gloom aspect. You know, I mean, even the Lord had a day off after creating Earth. allegedly. So Melissa, 3-day weekend.
It's 4-day for me. I've got a 4-day. School that my kids go to decided that they would do a curriculum day the day after the long weekend. Oh, so I've got a 4-day weekend.
Yeah, I'm not lazy. I'm clever.
But at the moment, this is what it's like in Melbourne at the moment. In all the schools at the moment, there's so many viruses going around. After 2.5 years of being, and we're in Melbourne in Australia, so we were in some of the worst, longest, ridiculous lockdowns in the world in the past 2 years. And so, of course, everyone's immune system has lost its muscle. It's not virus fit. And so the kids are all back at school, and you can imagine every virus and its dog is going through the school. So at the moment, the schools are pretty much half attended. All the kids are out. Half the teachers are out. But they're fighting on. They haven't shut the schools down, so good for them. And even my kids came home with a nasty flu virus, really it was. It wasn't COVID, everyone. We did all the tests. But we had COVID. All of us had it in the early days. We actually caught the virus, my kids and I, this is being we. And we had our fevers and all the rest, and we have not had it since. And we've been around all sorts of people that have had it. My kids are constantly at school with kids that are testing positive. You know, go the immune system. Woo! Mm-hmm. So at the moment I'm watching, particularly in children, their immune system's trying to muscle up fast. I mean, it really needs some serious protein powder going on at the moment, and it is. But it's in the meantime, we're watching, my daughter was saying in the week that they had off because of this flu virus thing, and by the way, the work that I do does work really well in viruses. We do great work with viruses, but my daughters came home, they had big fevers, I worked on them, 24 hours fevers are gone, body's just recovering from whatever imbalances, whatever damage was caused by the virus. And in that week, apparently, there were 7 kids in all of year 3 and year 4 attending school. All the kids are out.
We've got about 7 minutes to go.
You've got to be kidding. Seems like we just started, Monty.
Yeah, I know. It's I may be a lazy time lord, but I'm still a time lord. wait, hang on. Didn't you just say hello? I'm just wondering, Melissa, are you seeing an uptick with sessions with people? Because I'm wondering if you can add to or just explain the ramping that is happening here, and like the health system seems to be under pressure 2.5 years into a pandemic. But are you seeing an uptick in that? Because there's a lot of people, we saw a lot of professional healthy athletes are having heart problems. Yeah. And the only thing that changes is the vaccine. It's not the vaccine. All right, cool. We'll take the vaccine off the table. Why is this happening? Yeah, and then there's dead silence. It's like, well, if you don't know, maybe let's go back to the vaccine to make sure it's not that.
Well, no, it's not that. We'll just keep distracting it with other stuff and telling you that monkeypox is going around and that, you know, various other things that they're trying to distract and misdirect you with. But, there's certainly a big uptick. And in terms of healthcare professionals, because the work that I do crosses over well and truly between the science and the spiritual. So I work with everyone in healthcare, and I work with everyone in the spiritual world as well. And so it crosses right over. In the show earlier today, in another show that Monty and I did earlier today, we were talking about the fact that healthcare workers are still, they only know what they know. So don't hold it against them if they don't know what's wrong with you or what's going on, because their information is finite. They only know what they know. But don't blame them either, because they've gone to that job in good faith with a great purpose. It's not their fault that governments have made bad decisions and have forced them to be, they're really
coddled,
under a lot of pressure. I'm trying to think of, muzzled, I'm thinking of other words too, but it's not really their fault.
The AMA, the Australian Medical Association, it is, they actually put in, like the start of the pandemic, you may not speak out against any information or directive from this organisation. If you do, you'll be...
I don't know what threats they're under, but it's amazing what doctors aren't allowed to say to you.
That's as well, because they'll lose everything.
Knowing a lot of doctors of great integrity and stuff, they're really strapped at the moment. But at the moment, we're 2.5 into this chaos, and... they're tired. There's just this despair that has beaten down, the weight has beaten down. The healthcare professionals in the healthcare system and everyone around it. This is the time to learn how to heal yourself and how to do it. And what was amazing when my girls had this virus last week, they both spiked temperatures and they both had coughs. And even one of my older children, my 19-year-old daughter, started saying, oh, maybe you should take them to emergency, Mom. Maybe you should take them to emergency. And I was just like, no, we know how, you know, I know what I'm doing. You know, we've always taken care of ourselves. When did you take, unless your flu turned to pneumonia, you didn't go to emergency because you had fever.
Yeah.
Like you didn't waste or you didn't block up the healthcare system. But people have lost faith in their own ability to heal themselves even more than they had. It was already bad 5 years ago that people had forgotten that they can heal their own body. Their body's built to self-regenerate. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, learning to how to heal yourself, learning what to do. You know, come and train with me. I'll teach you how to heal yourself. But it's learning how to heal yourself is critical now. It's as critical as learning how, you know, having a few chickens in your yard and growing your own veggies, like Bruce was saying. You know, it's as critical to know this stuff and just basic stuff, you know, temperature, what medication might help, cough, okay, pineapple juice, you now know that. There's stuff that is really effective that's way more natural and easy for you to access than synthetic drugs and, God forbid, the healthcare system when you don't need to. And so, yeah, taking care of yourself like that. I mean, I'm sorry I'm going on to a bit of a rant there, but, yeah, definitely seeing the ramp up, the lack of faith of people in themselves to handle their family, their issues or their own health, and the I guess there's a lack of faith in the medical system and in the healthcare system that they've got support behind them now because they feel like they don't.
Well, I mean, that's the government problem. So we've got about 2 minutes to go. So, Bruce, would you like to exclaim how quickly it's gone?
Yeah. Ditto. And, you know, I'll give my signature closing out timeline when I'm on air with Monty. If you live in a place that has what are the two things again? Frogs and bees. You're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. So not California.
No. California has nothing left. Nothing.
Yeah.
The cockroaches have left.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Led Zeppelin have changed the name from going to California to leaving California. That's how bad it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not Hotel California. It's Motel California. So you can get a car and leave.
We'll change it up this time, or I'm going to send you to Amazon to look for Bruce McDonald's books.
There's a wonderful audio book.
There is a fantastic audio book called Stardust. Guys, what's the title?
Stardust Ranch, The Incredible True Story.
That's it, The Incredible True Story, which is to this day and probably always will be my favorite audio book ever. It is just amazing. There's so much truth in it. Definitely, if you're looking for a great audio book, download that and make sure you pay for it because all the people involved need that. So pay the artist. And so looking for me, go to melissahockinghughes.com or qbihealing.com. You'll find me there and you'll find me all over social media, Facebook, all of that good stuff too. And Mont.
Yeah, Wafer Then Entertainment, Monty Dean, Wafer Then Entertainment on YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble and BitChute, as well as, Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, because I like to twit. And, Planet Collingwood, it's 2 a.m. Wednesday mornings on Studio A here on Revolution Radio, as well as I should be just producing Sean's show on Wednesday nights, but we'll see how we go because, you know, he's having health issues. So, but he's alive, and that's the main thing. And he did say thanks to both of you for helping out as well. So thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here. Someone will be back in 2 days. Maybe it's me, maybe it's Sean. But let's turn up and find out. See you all soon, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
Torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war.